probably a moment I would have liked a little more time to soak that in. It's a good word. Thank you, Tricia. So I haven't been so good with the title thing for the message, if you haven't noticed. So last week, letting go, part one. This week, letting go, part two. I'll get there. One day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We commit this service to you. We commit this time to you. We trust that you brought everyone here for a reason and that you have a purpose and a plan for every one of us. Thank you for the example and the witness of those that you are raising up to step out in bold, fresh, new ways for you. So may we all be a part of this work that you call us to here, God. So we commit this service to you. I pray against all distractions now, that we would just be receptive to your Holy Spirit, that maybe one thing would stick for each of us, Lord, that we would be challenged in a greater way to give you our all, to give you our all and surrender. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, we talked about entering into a new season. Right, the beginning of a new year, anticipating what a new year might look like, how he will lead us in our lives personally, our family, our church, and to consider how it might look different than the prior year. I pointed out how the crossover into the new year has always been personally significant for us to kind of pray into the new year, to reflect and seek the Lord, what he might be calling me to, what changes might he be challenging me or asking me to make, to seek his counsel and to draw on his strength to help us leave behind what once was sometimes. That's what he calls us to do. And to find courage to embrace a new season and time in our lives. We looked quickly at Ecclesiastes, how there's a time to mourn and to grieve. Again, it's a time. Some may be in that place right now, and it's okay. It's very necessary. And Jesus wants to personally meet you there in that time in ways that only he can. We also looked at the importance of moving on in time. And we read from Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, which says, "Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I continued to soak in that passage a little bit more, even on my own, just reflecting on that. I always love the words of Scripture, of God's Word, just as I probably shared before, I just kind of get stuck on them sometimes. But for the saints of God, this is very relevant. This is a very relevant passage, not only because of the dangers associated with constantly looking back, but it reminds us of where our focus needs to be. We press on by looking toward the goal, the prize of the upward call in Christ. It's an upward call, not a downward call or earthbound call that tries to entice us with worldly pleasures or to settle for the brokenness in this life. No, it's an upward call. It's an upward call of God, and it's filled with eternal hope, endless joy, and awestruck glory. Sometimes it's hard to have that view, this side of glory, right? This side of heaven, sometimes we don't see it. It's hard to be lifted out of our sorrows, what we battle each week. But God's word lifts us up. He lifts us up. And Jesus will come and one day call us all home to be with him. Amen. And as I mentioned, he is the goal. He is the prize. So very simply, God is calling his church to maintain an eternal viewpoint in all we do. How? By keeping only Jesus at the center of our lives, at the center of our lens. And we've been asking ourselves, am I looking back? Am I looking back and keeping my sights on the past? Is there something I haven't let go of yet? How has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? I know how he's speaking to me. Again, this is a relevant word just for me. And for you. It's just how God works. You know, his word is powerful. So as we enter this new year, this is the question that remains for us. So on another note, the question Beth and I keep getting asked is, how's the move going? Are you settled in yet? Reality is, we're still kind of in the process of moving, believe it or not. After all this time, cleaning out our house is definitely taking a while. It's been 12 years of accumulation, 12 years of stuff. But a place filled with so many great memories. And some not so good. So sorting and packing up our things, deciding what to keep, figuring out what to let go of and get rid of. As I thought about that process, just in the natural, like just in the natural process of moving, I came to this realization regarding moving all our stuff. Holding on to so many things slows our momentum. It consumes our energy. And it could be physically and emotionally draining. Anyone go through a big move before? Like, you feeling me? Are you feeling me? You understand? Oh, you got it, right? This is our big move. Like, because when we moved before, like, we had one kid. Now we have four, you know? And that's just lots more things. You never realize how much stuff you have until you're forced to sort it, pack it up, and move it. Although most of our main items we already moved, I've made a couple trips since we've did the bigger move already. Beth was there last Thursday. I'll likely be there tomorrow evening just to make another trip. And it's all part of the process. For us, the reality is we're really trying to go for the purpose of doing more cleaning out and getting rid of stuff than actually just bringing it all here. So that's what we're trying to do. So not everything is coming with us. Some stuff didn't make the cut. Some things were and will be intentionally left behind. So, for example, I have a lot of examples, actually. I'm just going to give you one. I'm just going to give you one for time's sake. As long as we lived in that house, I've had these two really heavy metal desks from when I was self-employed. Years ago, God gave me a business, and I managed that business for 7.5 years. The economy tanked, lost it all. We pretty much lost the house, whatever. That's a whole other story. The point is, I can never let go of the desks. I can never let go of the desks. They meant something to me. They represented something to me. It was like the new venture, the new launching out and going at work on your own, or not my own, but you know, the Lord owns it all. You get me, right? But it was hard to get rid of these desks. So one is really, really big. The other one is really big. So the really big one we've used in our, what would kind of be like a home office for paying bills and stuff. The really, really big one just landed in the garage, never touched it for over 7 years, and guess what happened? It accumulated lots of stuff on top of it. It's like to the ceiling of our garage. So I'm looking at that, I'm like, oh man, like, what are we going to do with this? So, yeah, it was really large, really heavy, and just not practical to bring with us. So I know this. I know it doesn't even make sense to bring it. I know that. But for nostalgia's sake, I was holding on to them. I was holding on to them. It was reminiscent of the good old days when I had my first office, you know? So I knew the hassle it would be to bring them here, but deep down I felt this resistance, right? Like, I might play cool for a little bit. Like, yeah, honey, we're cleaning out. And then I'm just like, I don't know. Like, so I felt this, honestly, this resistance. So with some encouragement, meaning my wife talking sense into me, we all need someone to talk sense into us sometimes, right? A brother, a sister, a spouse. I finally realize, yes, it's time. It's time. It's time to let them go. They needed to be left behind. And it could be hard to accept, like, the reality of letting go. But it's often good to do so. And when and why is it necessary? When and why is it necessary? Because the more stuff we hold on to, the more it weighs us down. Too much stuff hinders our progress from moving forward. And thinking clearly. I don't know if you can relate with that. I've kind of also realized that I get a little overwhelmed with all the stuff that I'm trying to clean out, like, all at once. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start. I can't even process this. It's overwhelming. I can't think right. So a lot of stuff has that effect on us. That's what I'm saying. And too much stuff fills a new season unnecessarily with dead weight. Dead weight. And besides, regarding moving all our heavy stuff with a 200-year-old parsonage, noticing a couple sloping floors, we considered maybe the weight capacity just couldn't handle our stuff. No, just kidding. No, it is a good solid floor. Oh, our kids love jumping up and down on it, and the house is not going anywhere. But letting go gives us a better readiness for what lies ahead. Don't bring the old into the new. It's a principle of the kingdom, right? Letting go gives us a better readiness for what lies ahead. Leaving behind the stuff that's been holding us back can be freeing. Not just for the sake of feeling free, like, I'm free. But for the purpose of embracing the next season more fully and without reservations. So obviously I'm not talking about just letting go of physical things here. Let's look again at Philippians 3. We touched on a verse or two last week. Just a little further up from where we read last week, starting in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all those things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." I'm just going to continue a couple more verses just for a little completeness here. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Did you catch that? Paul considers all things that once benefited him, all things that at a time once benefited him, to now be rubbish. That's a good English word, right? Junk. Garbage. Worthless. As nothing. That's what Paul is saying here. None of it compared to the surpassing greatness and worth of personally knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. None of it compared. None of it compared. None of it compared to being declared righteous by God through faith in Him, through faith in Jesus. His eyes were on the goal, the prize, so much so that he was willing to suffer the loss of every earthly thing for the sake of Christ. I'm challenged by that. That's all in surrender. That's like, no joke, real deal, like, forget it all. I'm all in, Jesus. But it's the knowing him that was the be-all, end-all for Paul. And you know what? All the early church, all the early disciples, they knew it. That was the be-all, end-all. They gave their lives away for a greater purpose. They knew this life was fleeting. They knew that nothing else mattered. They knew the oppressions that were coming on the economy, on the governments, on the world, the rise of evil empires, whatever the craziness might be going on. None of it kind of mattered to these guys. Not that we don't take note of those things. Don't misunderstand. We know we're to be heavy-hearted for the land. We're to be heavy-hearted and intercede, you know, for the righteousness of the land and the justice of the land, right? Like, we never neglect that. But it just seems like the early church was tapping into something a little different. You know, despite the oppression, despite the persecution, surely their sights were elsewhere. You know? A little bit further down in verses 18 and 19, in the same chapter, he warns against those whose God is their appetite, those who set their minds on earthly things, those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. What a hard word. In contrast, though, we're called to live differently. And we're reminded not to get too comfortable here. It's hard to accept that. I know I've probably shared that before. It's a theme that comes up a lot, so you'll probably hear it again. Life lets us down. The whole thread of a thought here. Like, we experience disappointments. There's injustice in the world. There's hardships in the world. We don't make light of these things. They just are. They just are. Will they crush us? Will they ruin us? Will they drown us out? Will they snuff out the purpose of God in our life? You know? No, God's calling us higher. He's giving us the key. He's giving us the clue. Amen. It's Him. Amen. He's the goal. He's the prize. So we keep our goal on the prize, on the goal. Like, we'll be all right. Like, we keep our eyes on Him. We keep that eternal view. So in verse 20, why can't we get too comfortable here? Why? Verse 20. The glorious reality for every believer is that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven. This is the identity of those who are in Christ, awaiting the coming King and are joining together with Him. Like the Apostle Paul, it's crucial we maintain an eternal viewpoint. It's a lot easier, by the way, it's a lot easier to let go of the stuff that's holding us back and to suffer the loss and to press on when our eyes of faith are fixed on the eternal hope and promise of a glory that awaits us. Whatever you or I may be holding on to, it can never compare to what lies ahead. This is why our focus must stay on the incomparable value, like Paul is saying, the incomparable value of knowing only Jesus. Only Jesus. There's only one name to know. So how about you? Are you keeping this perspective? Is this perspective difficult? In the new year, do you already sense God lovingly trying to get your attention with something? Is there interference? Something interfering, getting in the way of, of your communion with Him, your intimacy with Him, your fellowship with Him. You're relating to Him as a Father who loves you dearly beyond any other human love, as I've shared before. Nothing compares. We have skewed concepts of this, but only one is perfect. It's the Lord Himself. Amen. Something keeping you from experiencing His greater purpose in your life. Something interfering. Maybe it's a negative attitude that God is asking you to leave behind. Remember our challenge to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Maybe it's a habit or a sin pattern that just keeps coming in. Anything we look to. We know, we're real about this. The things we look to that fool us to think that we could find satisfaction in those things and comfort in those things, and they just leave us dry anyway and wanting. Only Christ, the living water, can satisfy that thirst. Maybe it's an expectation of someone or something. If our hopes and dreams are on those things, on people or things, instead of God, it's always a setup for disappointment. Always a setup for disappointment. Amen. How about fear? We have cause to be fearful, right? Ballistic missiles, you know, electromagnetic pulse, all these crazy things we hear about, right? Like, hey, if we dwell on these things, like, let's run to the mountains and hide in a cave. I mean, yeah, craziness out there, right? Nobody denies it, except the utopians, you know, who are waiting for the, is that how you say it? The utopia to come. Like, here, in this present life, the way things are. But yeah, so we don't shrink back. God doesn't want us to hold on to fear, to let the fear diminish our passion, our drive for Him. Fear of change, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, right? A new year, a new season, experiencing different changes in our lives, little shakeup going on in our norms and our routines for each of us in different ways. Or maybe we fear what Christ may be calling us to surrender, but we've been holding on to for years. Years. To some degree, we all struggle with these things. It's no one's excluded. To some degree, we all struggle with these things. And we try to keep control. That's where the tension is. The struggle is we try and keep control. Control of our wants, our desires, our preferences, our ambitions. We resist letting go of our will. We resist letting go of our will. Yet to truly know and follow Christ often means giving up our right to those things. In order for us to say yes to His better purposes and plans. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Encourages us with this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. So what are the keys? What is God saying here? What are the keys to moving forward? You know, in evaluation and in some reflection on some of these passages, you know, and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. What else? Yeah. Giving over to Him the sin that creeps in to trip us up, to entangle, that wants to entangle us. Letting go of what's hindering our growth in Christ and slowing our momentum so that we can persevere and run again. Maybe there was a time when you were running. You were running strong with the Lord. You know, but you slipped back. Something crept in and it just tripped you up and you fell. And you got drowned out with condemnation and guilt and shame and you checked out. Don't give up. Don't believe the lies. You know, like Satan always aims to just throw us off to thwart. It's a word we don't always use, but for some reason I like this word because I've experienced in my own life, Beth knows, I feel like I'm being thwarted. 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 I'm sorry I'm not defining it right now, but it makes sense in my mind. The loose language is sidestep, trip up, entangle, right? Detour. But yeah, the enemy has an aim to derail. There's a good word. To derail the church of God, the church of Christ. So it's like we're not ignorant to his schemes, God's word says, right? So there's a reality that exists in the spiritual realm, a battle that takes place. Some might deny it, but when we're honest with ourselves in our quiet moment, we know it's real. It's real. So we need to persevere and run again. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. Let go of whatever's hindering and entangling us so that we could run again the race that he's marked out for us. All this points to the high call of giving our lives fully to him as he did for us on the cross. Consider Christ's example of surrender. His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Many of you will remember this. Right at the moment of his betrayal, right before he went to the cross to suffer and to die on our behalf. In Luke 22, verse 41 to 42, Jesus dropped to his knees. Jesus dropped to his knees and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." This is our Lord. Jesus knew the pain and suffering he would face, yet he was selfless. He was selfless as he endured the cross. Humble and obedient to the will of the Father, regardless of personal costs. Regardless. He gave it all. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Maybe in a crisis? It's hard. God asks you to surrender something or someone? It's hard to pray. We could think of examples. Maybe you can. So Jesus is our example in this. Jesus is our example. That's one of the points here. He held nothing back from us. As Savior, Lord, eternal King, he's always after our hearts. Nothing matters more to him. Right? The surpassing value. I mean, if you look, just take 5 minutes. Just do a little history on the Apostle Paul and all that he endured. Right? My stuff does not compare. And he's saying his stuff does not compare to knowing the value, the greatness, the worth of having personal relationship with the King of Glory, the King of Heaven, the King of Angels, the Lord Jesus himself, the Savior. So, do I care more about his glory and fame? Or holding on to what's been entangling me? Many times I've had to ask that, especially when I know and I sense God's shaken something up in my life. I feel the tension right away. No. Is it my heart's desire to see him glorified, no matter the cost? Not always. Let's be honest. Not always. So that realization, I believe God wants to take each of us to meet with Him. Say, God, why? When you gave it all up for me, how come? Why is it so hard for me to give up everything for you? What's missing? Let's consider, it comes down to perspective. Let's consider, it comes down to maintaining that eternal viewpoint, right? Reprioritizing our value system. The value of knowing the Lord Jesus Himself. And the void, the emptiness that only He can fill. We know this. Still we run from Him at times. Fact is, when you and I are willing to say, not my will, but yours be done, it's so pleasing to God. It's so pleasing to God that we often experience His unexpected blessing, actually, and His favor. Sometimes He surprises us. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes He doesn't require the sacrifice that He was calling us to give, that we thought that maybe He was saying to give up. Now, if it's real deal, raw sin, then there's no question. But sometimes it's a little gray when it's a little fuzzy and, you know, maybe God's not done with a certain situation or a certain relationship yet. And, you know, you're thinking, you know, I need to give this up. And He's saying, no, you don't have to. It's okay. It's okay. Give me time. Give me time. I'm going to work there. Just stay faithful. Keep your eyes on me. Stay faithful. Run the course. Abraham offering up Isaac is a great example, right, of when there was that unexpected change. Abraham was willing. And that's what mattered most to God, his heart. But you know, when we do surrender our will to God, as difficult as that is, it's always for His glory, for His strength, for His power to be revealed through us. Why? As a testimony, as a witness to the living Christ in us. That's what's different. That's what's different about the people of God. God calls us to this, this persistence, this persevering faith that endures all hardship and trial so that we shine out of it. We shine out of it. By the way, true surrender can often be a process. Letting go can be a process. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's a process. It doesn't always happen instantly. Given our tendency to resist His will and resist letting go of our will, that tension. So God has to work on us. God has to work on us. Sometimes He'll allow a little more of an uncomfortable situation. Something a bit uncomfortable to our norm. Not always. Again, you know your heart. You know God knows your heart. You know where you're at. So sometimes He has to work on us, and it takes a while. But He's waiting. He's waiting on us to let it go. But what will happen instantly, this is the interesting thing. What will happen instantly is that instantly, we'll hear the Holy Spirit kind of letting us know what needs to go. The question is, like, will I raise the hand? Will I raise the finger? Like, I kind of know when that happens. And then it's just me kind of, like, justifying that voice away, right? So we will know. We will know. Like, you know, God's given us His Spirit, you know, to reveal more of His heart and His will and His goodness to us and the ways of the kingdom. And so we know when we're out of step with that. We know when we're out of step with His Word. Maybe certain influences, like a negative relationship, or something we're watching on Netflix, or listening to, like constantly, that's just like crazy and so against like speaking life into your soul. You know, like these things have a form of influence, and definitely another message, but it's a form of company. You know, God's word says bad company corrupts good morals. Like, even the things that come into the eyes, the ears, just understand it in its very simple state. it's a form of influence, right? Beyond what we even realize. That's all. And just to be careful, like to everything in balance, you know, I'm not like a, you know, very legalistic guy, but I just know for myself, for my heart, there's things I have to check out of because, actually, here's a good example to be a little honest. There's certain music from my past, let me tell you, and, you know, one time maybe I'll share more of my testimony, but I really have trouble. I have trouble listening to certain songs from my past when I was just floating. I will expand on that another time. but my heart here is to, just for the sake of not being misunderstood, my heart here is just to share with you that I relate well with these things, and I'm very aware of the types of things that come into my eyes and into my ears that bring me back to old habits, to old bondages, right? So it's real stuff. So again, the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. He puts the warning light on when we know we're going too deep, when we know it's just tearing down our soul, right? Our mind, our will, our emotions. So just be on guard. Again, another message. So whatever might be appealing to our appetites, our lusts, those things tend to keep us back from maintaining that eternal view. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us see what those things are. Whatever may be working against the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and hindering the formation of Christ in us, whatever may be slowing our spiritual growth and interfering with uncompromised faith and true trust in God, whatever is causing fear and keeping us from discovering and stepping out into the work God prepared in advance for us to do, may we have ears to hear and not resist. On a side note, Anthony, Brother Anthony, shared a passage with me last week after the service. Really spoke to me, really complimented some of these themes, and I just felt led to share it with you. In the passage, Jesus is clearly warning his followers to consider the costs of living for him and advancing his kingdom. Consider the costs. In Luke 9, verse 62, and there's definitely a little bit of context here, but I just basically summed up the context that he's teaching his disciples to consider the cost of living for him and advancing the gospel. In Luke 9, verse 62, he says, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." It's a hard saying of the Lord, right? It's a hard saying of the Lord. But the point is this, if we're committed to Christ, he wants us to finish well. He wants us to finish well. He wants us to run again, to continue the race that he's marked out for us, marked out for his church, marked out for his people in the work that he calls us to do. So in closing, we can't go on and receive all that God intends to reveal if we're looking back. That's still just the main point of last week and this week. Like the example from my old desk, it's good to ask, is there anything from my past that has no place in the present? Is there anything from my past that has no place in the present? We have to believe that God has so much more in store for us and every one of us. Whatever he's saying to let go of in the new year, just imagine how our lives will look differently. Sometimes it's hard to see our life without that thing that we're holding on to. Like, it could be a little scary to let go. Like, I don't know what that will mean because I'm used to going to that thing, or I'm used to holding on to that memory and cannot compute. Like, I don't know. Just imagine how it would be different, though, when by God's grace, He helps you let it go. And you have a newfound freedom, a newfound readiness for the Lord. It's like a weight being lifted. So surrender opens up new possibilities for the Lord to work in and through us. And I want to challenge each of us, including myself, to consider again all that Christ willingly gave up for us. Always keep that in view. And to encourage us to follow His example of humble sacrifice in whatever way God may be calling us to surrender in 2019. So that's my challenge, that's my encouragement to you and for us. Please stand with me for our closing prayer. Jesus, thank You for laying down Your life for us. There's nothing that compares to truly knowing You. I pray, Lord, that we would have hearts of surrender, that we would surrender those things that are holding us back by Your grace, with the help of Your Spirit, with the help of the Helper, that we would find a newfound freedom to run again, to press on, to suffer the loss for Your cause, for Your name, knowing that only what's done for You is what matters. Only You, Jesus. You're the only name that needs to be remembered. You're the only name that needs to be remembered. May people see that name in us with the time that You've given us here, this side of glory. In Your name, amen.
Amen.